the disciples in the storm and Jesus walking on the water. I want us to pick up at verse 27 of Matthew chapter 14, Matthew 14, 27. We will reiterate just a little bit of what we spoke about at the end of last week and continue on to this week. But we are going to be at Matthew chapter 14 and verse 27. The Bible says, "But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." That's what began to stir inside of the heart of Peter once he recognized who it was walking on the water. When you recognize who it is that's walking towards you, it will begin to change your perspective about what's going around you. And so Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if that is you, then bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, speaking of Jesus, Jesus said, "Come." How many of you are ready to go closer to Jesus? He's saying, come on. He's saying, come on, the waters are wide open for you. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, notice it says was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Being able to walk in impossible places has to be connected to the direction you're headed, which should be towards Jesus. If you're not walking towards Jesus, you're not going to be able to walk in impossible places. If you want to overcome things, it has to be because you're walking to Jesus. Are you hearing me today? Verse 30, here's our problem though. "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me." Some of us did that this week, sliding through the ice, yeah? "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come to the ship, the wind ceased." Refocusing your vision, part two. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are going to preach an expository message, which is simply to break down a verse, set of scripture, to what you want to speak to us. Your word is powerful. And if we are able to grasp what you are trying to speak to us and relate to us, it is life transforming. We are not here to waste our time. We are here to have our lives transformed by the word of God. We believe, Lord Jesus, that as we sit and as we listen and as we engage in the preached word of God, we expect to leave differently than how we came in. There is no lower expectation than that. We believe that we're going to leave challenged and changed and empowered to leave out of this place walking with victory, saying, "I've got a word from the Lord. I'm not filling a time slot. I'm being in a position to receive revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ." And so I pray, God, let your anointing flow and give us revelation, and do not allow us to leave the same way we came in here. If that's you, why don't you clap your hands and say, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated here in the house of the Lord. So glad you all made it here. And again, we're just praying for the weather to warm up. But until then, let's just keep on pressing through, all right? If you heard me say it once, you will hear me say it again and again and again and again and again and again. And that is the word perspective. And the goal, again, and the scheme of our enemy is to get us to have wrong perspectives, to look and see things in the wrong or negative manner. Again, I reiterate, if he can get us to look at things in life that we face with the improper perspective, then he knows it is going to lead us to have wrong thinking. And when we have wrong thinking in our lives, it is what is going to lead to wrong actions. And wrong actions then will lead to negative consequences that will then satisfy our adversary. Because when he gets us to operate with wrong thinking and move into wrong actions, then he is satisfied by the negative consequences we have to suffer because of our wrong thinking and moving to our wrong actions. But again, I repeat, I don't know about you all. I am tired of the enemy putting blinders on us. I'm tired of the enemy not allowing us to see the traps of the enemy. I want us to be able to see the traps of the enemy and step over them and keep walking towards the progression that God wants us to have. I believe that we are in a season of men and women that says, I will be more than a conqueror. I believe I am in the midst of people that believe that I am ready to whoop the tail of Satan over and over and over again. That's why I appreciate King David so much, because he was never satisfied with where his kingdom was. He said, God, as much as you want to expand me and to continue to fight the foes in my life, I will continue to fight the foes in my life. Let me tell you, God wants you to keep on having a mentality that I want to keep on progressing and fighting the foes of my life. But I'm not talking about fighting a losing battle. I'm talking about fighting a winning battle. Don't you want to gain more in the kingdom of God? I believe this church wants to gain more in the kingdom of God. I believe that we want to see things change in our lives. I believe we want to believe that our prayers are effective and that the promise of God are yea and amen in our life. That we all say, this is my year, my time to possess the promises of God. You must be intentional about desiring the promises of Almighty God. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place already. And the more we expose the enemy and his attacks, we will be able to see there is nothing the devil can stop us from walking into. There's nothing the devil can hinder us from receiving the favor of Almighty God. And can I tell you, we are a favored people in the place today. If you are someone who is in pursuit of righteousness, if you are someone who is in pursuit of holiness, if you are someone who is in pursuit of the will and the plan of God, no matter where you are, let me tell you, God has favored your life. Do you believe that God has favored you? I'm going to tell you, you better get the right perspective, because God has favored you. Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm facing. Let me tell you, that's why I'm preaching. I got to give you the right perspective, because like I told you before, the disciples were in the worst place they had ever been in their life, but they were about to walk into the greatest miracle of their life. And so right now, can I tell somebody right where you are right now, if God can get you to change your perspective, you're about to walk on stuff that other people drown in. Can I preach to somebody here this morning that you're about to walk into a new level of destiny? Are you ready for it? Are you excited about it? Are you ready to conquer things you could never conquer before? Last week I left off speaking of the story where Jesus was walking on the water. Jesus saw their fear and said, do not be afraid, it's I. I know you're going through a lot, but it's me walking towards you in the middle of your storm. And I want to tell you that he wanted to communicate to his own that there are times when you are going to feel abandoned. Yeah, there'll be times where you feel like it's not just people abandoning you, but it feels like that God himself has abandoned you. Lord, I thought it was you that told me to go to the other side. Lord, I thought it was you that told me to show up in this place. I thought it was you that told me to take that job. I thought it was you that told me to marry this person. And now I don't see you in the middle of the most difficult time that I'm dealing with in my life. Lord, where are you? And Jesus says, I'm going to show up in that moment to give you the right perspective to help you to refocus your vision so that you can walk in places you never could walk before. And so now where we are, Peter says, now I recognize who you are. And it's so important that you begin to key in on who am I really serving. Do not allow church to become just religion to you, just a time slot you fill, but that when you come in this place, you come with intentionality. I know who I am in the presence of. I refuse to be disrespectful towards him, that when he's here, I know there's nothing that he cannot do. God forbid that we are all in the place and he's here right now and there is no level of expectation of what he's able to do. God, no, let that not be the case. But I pray every time you come in this house, you say Jesus is here. And so today my life will be changed. You want to know why? You better get the right perspective. God does not respond to need. God responds to faith. But if you believe that he's here right now, I tell you, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so once Peter recognized it's Jesus, well then he says, well then I'm not going to be afraid anymore. Lord, if that really is you, bid me to come to places that I've never been able to go to before. Lord, if that really is you, challenge my expectation, challenge my faith, challenge my belief system. Let me do things I could never be done before. Bid me to go to a deeper relationship with you. Bid this church to walk with a spirit of revival and expectation. Lord, if that's you, bid me to have more growth, more increase, and a greater vision. If it's Jesus that has called and that is here, then what is our potential that God is trying to unlock inside of us? Notice he clearly stated, bid me to come to you. Again, his focus was not about himself. His focus was on Jesus. Jesus, if my eye is on you, then there are some things that I should be able to do that I could not do by myself. Jesus, if you are in the room right now, you can change my mentality on things I could not change by myself. Jesus, if you're really here in this place, you can turn my heart around. Jesus, if you're really here in this place, you can wash all my sins away. You can remove all my stain and all my guilt and all my shame. If that's you, Jesus, let the blood be applied all over me right now. Can I tell a sinner here in this place, the Lord Jesus is here to wash you of any mistake that you've done this week. Jesus is here and he's saying, come. His attention was on the potential that I could now walk on something that most people drown in. Many of us right now are facing difficulties that the norm of the world would be to throw in the towel and drown in that place. Drown in that place of being broke. Drown in that place of being sick. Drown in that place of having marital problems. Do what everybody else does. Just forget about it and give up. And no one would say anything about it. Just go ahead and be depressed and live with all the worries and the cares. Because the majority of the people will always drown in this place. As most people drown in these type of waters. Most people give up in this type of environment. Most people don't live in these deep places. But when you begin to focus on Jesus, where most people drown in these waters, you're now believing that you can step out and walk in places that most people drown in. Most people don't raise their hands in the moment they're dealing with right now. Most people don't give their offering and their tithes in the place they're in right now. Most people won't come to an altar. Most people won't raise their hand. Most people won't talk to God. But when you know he's in the building, you know you have to do it. Others may not, but I have to, because I'm going to walk in some impossible places. And you know what he said? I'm so tired of staying here on the boat. And again, he's not trying to knock
his fellow disciples. He's just saying, I was not built for the boat. I wasn't built to stay in the place of comfortability. Am I talking to anybody here today? I'm built to walk in places that other people won't walk in. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. And Jesus is saying, don't you want to step out? I'm bidding someone to say, this is your season. This is your moment. This is your time to walk in places you never walked in before. Does anybody believe that this should be the greatest year you ever had? You better believe that you can walk in places that other people drown in. Other people have money problems. Others have health problems. Others have family problems. Others have job problems. But if my focus is not on those problems, but on Jesus, I'm going to walk in places that most people drown in. I feel the Holy Ghost. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's all kind of issues that we all deal with. And there's so much to be said about that. And that's fine. But Peter said, I can't keep focusing on things I don't have control over. How about I get my eyes on the one who controls the wind and the waves? How about I get my eyes on Jesus? And if I can look at Jesus, I'm going to walk in places I've never walked in. Aren't you tired of walking in stuck places? Or do you want to go to another level? Do you want to see your life be different than what it always has been? You got to keep your eyes in on Jesus and not on your problem. Jesus said, come. That's fine that Jesus is saying, come. The question is, are you going to obey the commandment? I can hear Jesus say, come all day long and stay exactly where I am. I can hear Jesus say, come on, I'm going to do it right now. And I can just sit there and not step out. And Peter said, that's all I needed was an invitation. Can I tell you this morning, Jesus is inviting somebody. Jesus is calling somebody. Jesus is saying, come. But I have to give Peter credit that he actually went out and came. You can hear the word come all day long. You can hear the word preached all day long. But until you get up and say, that's all the word I need to get more excitement, to get more joy, to get more empowered, I'm going to take advantage of what the Word of God had to say. I know I couldn't do it by myself, but if Jesus said come, I'm going to step out and walk in faith. If Jesus is calling me, I'm going to move forward. If Jesus says come, here I come. In other words, God is responsible for the Word. But we are responsible for the action. He didn't grab him out of the boat. Peter had to get out of the boat. And many people come to church and they hear the word of God, but yet they're not walking in impossible places. Because they're not doing their part. They want God to do everything and be everything. Hey, but the Lord said, if I said come, then you got to start trusting my word in the... Can't you first calm the storm? I know that's you, and that's fine. But we've been scared all this time. How about, and can you imagine trying to negotiate with Jesus? And we say, you know what, pastor, husband, wife, if this thing changed first, this is what I would do. Have you ever said before? Man, if things were this way, this is how I would be. If my husband acted this way, well, this is what I would do. If my wife did these particular duties, well, this is how I would begin to treat her. You're trying to get the storm to be calm first before you come out and be obedient to the word of God. And the reason why you're not able to walk in places that are impossible is because you're trying to put it all on God after God said, come on, try me, test me. Now, the thing about Peter as well is Peter didn't look around and say, I'll come soon as James and John come. I'll be more than happy to go out and walk in impossible places soon as Thomas and James and Simon follow suit. And I learned something from the scripture. It's about human nature. Majority of people are going to stay in the boat. As a pastor has to talk to himself a lot. Because you have aspirations for people. But you got to go to the Bible and say, everybody don't want it. As much as I want you to have it, I cannot force you to have it. I have to learn as a pastor, the majority of people won't get it. The majority of people says, I'm going to stay in the comfort of my boat. Don't you see the storm, Pastor? This ain't the time to jump out. I'll jump out after the storm comes. But there are some individuals that were trying to pull up and tell them that they look around and say, James and John, no disrespect to you, but I was not meant to stay in the places I've always stayed in. There's something that always has been calling me and drawing me to get closer to God. I'm not trying to shame you. I'm just trying to go after what God has for me. And anybody here, you're not trying to be better than anybody else. That's not what I'm trying to say. There's just something that says if God is calling me to a higher place, and I cannot allow myself to be limited to go to the higher place just because somebody else don't go. I'm going to go whether you go or not. If you want to stay there in the comfort of your ship, then you go ahead. But there's a place that I need to walk on. I'm so tired. I'm not meant for the boat. I'm meant for revival. I'm meant for the great things of God. I'm meant for the prayers that I pray to be answered. I'm meant to turn my world upside down. And I refuse to stay in a boat if he calls me to come. I'm coming if I go by myself. If you want to go by yourself, why don't you just raise your hand and let God know right now, not me, but I want you to pray your own prayer and say, Lord, have I been stuck in a boat because others are stuck in a boat? Am I in a rut because others are in a rut? Lord, if I hear you calling me, then I'm going to go higher and go no matter what somebody else does or doesn't do. Now, the word, not just now, but the word of God is calling some of you. The word of God is telling some husbands to come and be different towards your wife. There are some wives that God is saying, come. There are some single people that God is saying, keep on drawing near to me and watch me do some work on your life. Watch me deal with your self-esteem. Watch me deal with your struggles. I'm trying to call you to come, but I want you to notice that it ain't always easy when God calls you to come. The Bible says he had to go down. That means he had to go through some stuff in order to get out of the boat. Even when you were excited and even when you're in the move of the Spirit and you're in a church service and things are flowing and things are well, sometimes when you leave the service, you got to go down and you got to go through some mess in order to get what God wants you to go. I want to tell you, go wherever you got to go. Go through whatever mess you got to go through. You might feel like you're going down, but you going down will lead you to walk in impossible places. The right perspective. And then the Bible says he walked on the water to go to Jesus. The message is about refocusing your vision. A lot of times our focus is so much on the problem and not on Jesus. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We all have problems and we all multiply our problems. Why? Because we dwell on our problems. And the Lord is saying, stop dwelling on your storm. Stop dwelling on the wind. Stop dwelling on the symptoms. Stop dwelling on what's making you upset. Stop dwelling on what's making you emotional. Stop dwelling on what's causing you to be depressed. Stop dwelling on all the things that is coming your way. Just get your eyes on Jesus in the middle of all that's facing you. Just get your eyes on Jesus. And as long as he kept his eye on Jesus, he's walking on the water. He's walking in impossible places so long as his eyes are on Jesus. And many of you, you're walking through difficult places, but you're not keeping your eyes on Jesus. And so what we found is just like what we find in verse 30, that while he's walking towards Jesus on impossible places, the Bible says he changed his focus. He was doing well. He stepped out. He went through a whole bunch of stuff. He had to get rid of some people in order to get out on the boat. And he's walking in higher places. But in that moment, he realizes the storm is still going on. Sometimes you stepped out and you came down to an altar, you gave, you sacrificed, you did some great things, and you thought, wow, things should get better. I'm walking towards Jesus. And all of a sudden, as you're walking towards Jesus, all of a sudden, as you've been progressing towards God, things have been moving in the right direction. And all of a sudden, you stop and say, man, I'm doing all the right things, and yet the storm is still here. Am I talking to anybody? You're doing the best that you can. You've been praying. You've been giving. You've been sacrificing. You've been worshiping. You've been doing all the things that he told you to do. You came. You've been obedient. And yet you turn around and walk towards Jesus. And what in the world? The storm is still going on in my life. And what the message is, God is saying, I'm trying to teach you that, yes, sometimes as you walk towards me, the storm is still going on. But didn't you notice that you were walking on the water in the storm? The greatest miracle wasn't that he calmed the storm. The greatest miracle was that somebody was able to walk on the water in the storm. Come on, I know how we all are, me included. I want everything to be perfect, and then I'll give my best worship, my best praise, my best sacrifice to God because he's so good. My whole life is going well. My whole life is perfect, and God is saying, I'm trying to refocus your vision. It is a greater miracle that in the middle of the rain, in the middle of the storm, you're still walking on impossible places. You're walking where other people drown, but yet as long as your eyes on me. Look at what you're doing, Peter. The boat's going up and down. There's chaos all around, but yet you're standing. Can I tell somebody, God wants to show you how to stand in the middle of your trial, in the middle of your pain. God is saying, refocus your vision and get your eyes on me. It's a greater miracle. I feel that so strongly. I feel that so strongly. Because the devil's lying to you and say, see how much you sacrifice. See how much you gave. Look at your stupid self. Everybody stayed in the boat. They're doing well. And here you are walking in faith and drowning. And you begin to second guess yourself. Should I have committed so much? Should I have gotten myself into this? Was this really the right thing to do? And here I am walking towards Jesus and changing some ways. And yet, I'm walking on water in a storm. But the mistake we all make, we take our eyes off of Jesus. And when we take our eyes off of Jesus, we become afraid. And after we become afraid, we begin to sink. There are mighty men and women of God in this house that are sinking. There are some Peters in this house who love God, who've been ambitious, who stepped out, but right now your life is a mess. And even though you got the name, the clout, the whatever you might call it for yourself, the progression you made, right now you're saying, I'm a Peter. But yet, I'm sinking. I've been in church for a long time. I've been on fire for a long time. I stepped out so many times. But right now, if I'm being honest with myself, I'm sinking. I've been trying to walk towards Jesus, and in my effort to walk towards Jesus, I'm sinking. It's so hard to keep on walking towards Jesus when all the distractions are going on in my life. But the message I want to reiterate in your heart and burn inside your soul and fire something on the inside of you. You will be able to avoid sinking deeper if you refocus your vision. Because what I see here in the scripture, even though he began to sink, see, most people think that because you're sinking, you're lost. You're not lost. Because you're sinking, you must refocus your vision. Do what you did that got you out there in the first place. Get your eyes back on Jesus. So I'm not cursing Peter because he sank, and no more am I cursing anybody here who might be sinking. All I'm saying is, save Jesus. Save me, Jesus. Cry out to him no matter where you are, even if you're sinking. Just refocus your vision and say, Lord, save me, and watch what he does. He saw, he perceived the issue was not the storm rose again. That wasn't the problem. Sometimes we think, man, I do good and a new storm happened. It's the same storm. It's the same stuff. But your eyes were on Jesus. So it was okay. It's not a new storm, Peter. It's the same storm. You just stop focusing on Jesus. And when you stop focusing on Jesus, you think a new thing happened when it's been the same thing all the time. And so the issue is not the storm. The issue is who is my eyes on, who is my focus on, and who is the one that called me to this place. The storm was already there. And so the Lord is trying to say, come on, call on my name. I want to tell somebody in this place today and in this new year, and today can be a new day. Is that no matter how far you felt like you've been walking from God, no matter how forsaken you think you've been in the house of God, no matter how much you find yourself sinking, I tell you, this is your day to refocus your vision and simply say, Lord Jesus, I haven't been all that I should be. Lord Jesus, my eyes have got distracted. Lord Jesus, I turned away. I allowed distractions and the wind and the waves to get in the front of me. But right now, Lord, I'm refocused. Focusing my vision on you. And notice, Jesus didn't blaspheme him. Jesus didn't rebuke him. Jesus said, immediately he took him by the hand and he said, walk with me, walk with me. Jesus Christ is here to help somebody, even though you're sinking, and he won't let you drown. He won't let you drown. After your great faith, he won't let you drown. After your storm, he won't let you drown. After your situation, your problem, he won't let you sink. Just refocus your vision. Just say, I'm in the right place at the right time. I'm going to say, Lord, save me. Are you able to recognize that I'm sinking and that I need him to save? Don't let pride get in your life and say, if I walked out here by myself, I'll get myself out of it. I won't share. I won't pray. No. I tell you, in the moment of you being vulnerable, it's a perfect time to cry out and say, Lord, I'm not perfect, but you are. I don't have all the answers, God. I made some mistakes. I've done some wrong, bad decisions. I went the wrong way. But if I have enough humility to say, Jesus, I'm crying out to you. I want to tell somebody, Jesus immediately stretched forth his hand and caught him. You know what Jesus is saying? I'm not going to let you sink in a moment of weakness. I'm not going to let you sink in a moment of making bad choices. I'm not going to let you drown because you messed up. I'm going to lift up somebody in this house. I'm going to help somebody in this house. No matter how low you think you've gone. Jesus, as I close, was close enough to Peter that even while Peter was sinking, Jesus said, I'm not going to let you drown. Some of you have been going downward because you feel like you can't do it by yourself. And so you beat yourself up. And Jesus is saying, no, I'm right here. I'm not going to let you drown. I'm right here. I'm not going to let you sink. I'm right here. I'm as close. The moment you refocus your eyes back on me, you're going to see me restore you to a place. Now notice, they didn't just get teleported back on the boat. Jesus said, after you call on my name and humble yourself and seek my face and turn from your wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive your sin and heal your land. Can I tell you, Peter, come up here, little Rodney. Come up here real quick. Come on, Peter. I know you sank, but I'm going to lift you up. And now you go keep on walking on impossible situations. Do you see what's going on? Even though Jesus saved him, he didn't beat him up. He didn't tear him down. He didn't say, what's wrong with you? He said, come on, let's walk together in impossible places. Is there anybody here that wants to take the hand of God? Stand on your feet. Lift up your hands right now and say, Lord, here I am. am. I humble myself. Let me walk with you. Don't let me drown. Let me walk in impossible places with you again. God wants to stir somebody's faith today. God wants to renew someone's heart again today. What am I saying right now? The Lord wants to catch somebody before you drown. You're sinking. You need to refocus your vision. You're sinking. You need to refocus your vision. Matthew 18:12. Devin, were you? Is he in here? I'll go have him play again. Matthew 18:12. How think ye? If a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray. Somebody needs to hear me right now. Hear me right now. Doth he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains and seek the one who's gone astray? He didn't say, oh, that's their bad. They left the fold. They left the protection that's on them. I told them to stay inside the fence. If they choose to wander off, if they choose to get their eyes to refocus somewhere else, it's not my responsibility to pull them back. Let me tell you, that's not the God you serve. The God that you serve says, even if you leave, I'll go and I'll find you and I'll pick you up. I'm not going to leave you out there where the wolves can get you. I'm going to be somebody that comes and call your name. If he finds it, he rejoiced more over that sheep than the 99 that did not go away. What are we seeing? We're seeing a picture of the kind of God that we have. And so I must also refocus your mentality on the kind of God that you serve. You might have sank. He's not going to berate you. He will still pick you up and turn you around and place your feet on a solid ground. He loves us this morning. So fast forward. It's something Peter never forgot. Because there was somebody who stepped out and failed in an area. And it's easier to feel like, God, just pick me up and take me back where I started. Because I'm so shameful. I have no need to do anything wonderful. At this point, I messed up, God. Jesus says, no. The reason why I'm catching you is there still something phenomenal I want to do through you? Did you hear what I said? I'm not catching you in vain. I'm catching you because there's still a Pentecost that you have to preach. So fast forward. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane praying for the cup to pass him. And then the soldiers come. Judas gives him a betrayal kiss. And everybody departs. And then somebody recognizes Peter far off. And we know Peter betrays Jesus. Peter messes up again. But Peter knew, I messed up in the past. I sank in that water. But I know when I call on the name of Jesus, he restored me. So even though I betrayed him right now, and I messed up right now, there's something that he did in the past that tells me right now in the present, he'll still wash me again. And because he did not let me drown on the sea, he's not going to let me drown in my current mess up. I want to tell somebody, there's a Peter here that still has a Pentecost to preach. I want to tell somebody here that's still here to change your family dynamic. There's still somebody here that will change the trajectory of your future because Jesus is washing you. One more time, raise your hand to him. Tell the Lord right now, I'm refocusing my vision on you, Jesus. And I'm going to cry out to you, God, for the mistakes and the sins and the pride that I've committed. And now I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, don't let me drown and let me walk in places again that I failed before. And I tell you right now, church, it's going to walk into a higher place. You're going to go forward in Jesus' name, and the enemy's not going to drown you in your home. If there's anybody here that wants to refocus your vision, I want to open up these altars. Coming down to an altar does not mean you're the worst sinner in the world. Coming down to an altar today is an act of faith that says, if you bid me, I'm coming. And if I fall, I trust you're going to pick me up. Coming down to an altar is refocusing your vision on what God wants to do in your life. So just communicate with them right now, and just talk to them right now, and just call his name right now. Come on, Peter. There's a Pentecost for you to preach to. Come on, somebody in this house. God is picking you up because he still has a plan for your life. But are you humble enough to say, Lord, save me? Are you humble enough to say, Lord, forgive me? Are you humble enough to say, Lord, I need you? I can't walk in this place unless you walk with me. I can't go further unless you hold my hand. But if you believe that, you'll reach out. I said reach out because you believe it. The love of the Lord Jesus is in this house. The love of Jesus is here in this house. The love of Jesus is tugging at someone's heart in this house. Thank you. see the hand of the Lord reaching down all over us right now. I see the hand of the Lord just stretching out himself right now to every one of us in this house. I see his hand stretched out and picking all of us up in this house. I see the hand of the Lord lifting us up to walking us to where he wants us to go. So I say, be of good courage. I say, continue to keep your eyes on him and continue to watch how he's going to make all things new. It's not hype. It's what the Word of God has to say. So I speak that right now into existence, God, to this church family of believers, that God, through our actions,